Time to recap McCook City Council meeting number one for the month of December. City Manager Nate Schneider is here. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. How you doing, Rich?
Doing good.
Good.
Here we are. The cold weather setting in.
Yeah. I'm ready for the Arctic blast to go and get to spring already. It's funny. I sound like a broken record, but about this time of the year, I realized, oh boy, I think I do like spring and summer better than I like winter. I always complain about how hot it is during the winter or during the summer, but I'll take the hot over the cold any day of the week.
I was wondering about your guys, the sports. I kept driving by and went, oh boy, it's a cold day to be out there and doing this. And it was windy. We had some windy days,
yeah.
And I thought, I didn't see anybody out there. It's probably a good idea.
I think that maybe this weekend they were off
for Thanksgiving,
and so. But they sent me over, Mammoth sent me over a drone picture yesterday. It was really kind of a cool picture. It had the snow covering the fields. Mm-hmm. It was really kind of a serene visual. I thought, yeah, that's really neat. And then I thought, yeah, it won't be like that for very long because those guys are going to get back out there and start working right away. So, but yeah, they just work through everything. If you've got 50-mile-per-hour winds, they're out there working. If you've got cold, if you've got hot, those guys are... they're busting tail, and they're really good at what they do. So
just put on the warm coveralls and go to work.
Yeah,
right?
That's all you can do sometimes. You just put your head down and fight through it.
Now, you did have on your City of McCook, I think, Facebook page, kind of a aerial of all the – it was pretty cool. You posted that. I looked at all the fields. That looks pretty cool.
Yeah. They sent over another set of drone pictures the week prior to yesterday, and we wanted to share that with the public so they'd have a pretty good idea maybe of what this looks like out there. And to be honest, until you're actually out there, you really can't get the full experience. I mean, you need to be there to understand what 130 acres actually means. Mm-hmm. But those fields are really coming along fast. The turf is going to happen during the spring. We thought that it was going to be a little bit earlier, but it took a little more time to get the dirt work done than what they originally thought. I think that the dirt was just so dry. Mm-hmm. And so getting it malleable enough to move, that was the issue. And so they dumped a lot of water out there to get that dirt moved. But if you look at the fields, I mean, you can see the fourplex and then the soccer field, they've really taken shape. And then you could see the championship field for baseball off in the distance, and you can see that that's really starting to come along as well too. And then the softball field will be the last part of the project. But they're moving along. The buildings are coming up. We had a few shingles that we lost last week due to the wind. I always get nervous when you start shingling this time of the year. But I know they're trying to move as fast as they possibly can. But Kyle and Tara were out there with some of the Planning Commission members showing them around this last week when we had our windstorm. And they said you could just see the shingles flying off into the distance. And it's like, yeah, what do you do? But, it's moving along great. And I think we're going to try to get maybe even this next week a time where we can get people out there just open to the public. Mm-hmm. I need to coordinate it with Mammoth. But we kind of have a date and time in mind. We're thinking maybe December 9th, which is a Tuesday, somewhere between 4:30 and 5:30. Just kind of an open house, if you will,
right?
So people can go out there and take a look at it. And we would lead tours so that way it's somewhat organized. I don't want people just walking off by themselves. And you have to have PPE and all those things. So you'd have to have vests, colored vests, so that way it's observable. But I'm going to reach out to Mammoth and see if we can't make it work because I'm getting a lot of people that are wanting to go see it, and I'd like to be able to figure out a way to get people out there if they want to go. And I know, like, the Leadership McCook class this week, they're going to go out there and take a look at it. And we've had our Planning Commission, and we've had just a group of people, you know, people from the school. We've had people in town that have businesses, just a variety of people. We wanted to bring them out so they could take a look and see what was going on. So
hope it's not 20 degrees that next Tuesday.
Well, so I looked at the calendar, uh-huh, or I looked at the 10-day forecast. And it's supposed to be 50 degrees, I think. So
that's
50 degrees.
That's durable.
I'll take 50 degrees all day. So I think that we're going to be in pretty good shape. I think Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I didn't want to do Wednesday because I know that's church night. And I want to give parents of young children an opportunity to go see that. Mm-hmm. And Thursday, you just never know. I think there are a lot of athletic events. I think it's the tip-off classic. And there are some other things too going on. I think there might have been wrestling, and so Tuesday only had maybe one or two events,
right.
And so I thought this is probably the best day to do it if we're going to try to do it.
We're getting that time of the season, winter sports, where every night.
Yeah, it's every
except
night.
Except for Wednesday,
yeah.
And then you got church night.
Yeah. It's just it's a grind this time of the year. Once you start getting into the basketball season and wrestling season, there's just it's a lot. And so, but that looked like a night. Tuesday looked like a night. December 9th looked like a night that would work. And so I'm going to try to coordinate it. And if I can make it work with Mammoth, we're going to get out a press release. We'll send it out to you and to everyone else. And then just try to get as many people out there as possible. We're going to have to try to figure out the parking. That's the big thing is the parking lot's large, but there's a lot of equipment and materials in there. And so we'd have to figure out how to make that work. But we'll figure out a way to do it.
Let's get to the agenda from last night. We'll start first to anything on announcements or recognitions.
Yeah, Pat Favre, our utilities director, actually presented the update on the injection well repairs. Last spring, we had a casing inspection done, and we discovered there was something wrong somewhere around 1,700 feet down towards the bottom of the well. And upon inspection, we found that at about 1,730 feet or 1,750 feet, there was a hole that needed to be repaired. So because of timing, we couldn't get to it until this past month. And so we were able to go ahead and correct the issue. There's a combination of a cement patch and then also some resin that was used to go ahead and clean it up. Everything was done by the 12th. The one thing that we wanted to make sure that we highlighted was this injection well is extremely important because it takes the hazardous material or the waste from our water and deposits it in a way that's going to comply with state and federal regulations. So we have to go ahead and come up with a plan to make sure that we're eliminating this. And so the injection well is what was approved when the water treatment plant was planned. The issue is we only have one injection well. There probably should be two injection wells. So what we're probably going to have to do at some point in time, we've talked about our water treatment plant upgrades, whether it's the media replacement, whether it's the vessel repair. We know that we've got to get a filtration system in there to go ahead and deal with the manganese issue. We know we've got some distribution lines that we're going to have to add. And all in all, you know, we've kind of estimated that the repairs are going to be $20 million. Along with this is also probably needing a redundant injection well, so we probably need two of them. So if we aren't able to use one, we can use the other one. I think the communities that actually have this type of water treatment plant, they usually have two injection wells. And again, should have been planned when it was built back in 2006, but it wasn't. And so we got to figure out some way to make sure that we're addressing that. And Pat had mentioned something to the effect that he thought it's probably about a $2-3 million project to go ahead and add another injection well. So we should be good for the time being. I think we've got 10 years that we think we're going to have with this most recent fix, at least with this particular patch. But we know that at some point in time, we're going to have to put in another well just to make sure that we don't have – the problem is if you don't have those injection wells, we have to hold it in a basin, and it takes forever to get people out here to work on it. So what do you do? Mm-hmm. I mean, in those high-use months, you know, I just don't know how we would handle that. And so we just need to make sure that we're planning for the future. It was probably fortunate that we've had this year was relatively dry, but we've had a couple of good years. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to go ahead and handle the demand, the water demand, but we need to figure out another plan. And probably the only way that we can address the issue correctly is by adding one more injection well.
Things like that always need TLC, don't they?
Yeah. Those are some expensive items. I know that Kurt Fritsch used to call Jesse Dutcher his $1 billion baby because every time he'd come, or $1 million baby, not quite a billion, but his $1 million baby, because every time there was a repair that needed to be made out at the water treatment plant or the wastewater treatment plant, it was always $1 million. So, but you don't have a town without water or sewer. And so those are things that we have to make sure that we address. And we're planning on doing things on the wastewater side. In 2026, we're going to start construction on the new wastewater treatment plant. And then we were prioritizing what we want to do at the water treatment plant first. The first two things that we have to do, you know, is the media replacement and the vessel repair work. We have to do those two things. And that'll be probably $3 or $4 million, if not maybe a little bit more. But those are things that you can't go without because you need to clean the water and you need to make sure that it's stored appropriately. And unless we take care of those two things, we're going to have some real issues. And so, and then after that, we can start looking at filtration and whatnot. You know, the filtration issue is one of the big reasons why we have discolored water. Every town has discolored water. I mean, you can look at Minden here recently. I know water in Wahoo, they were actually under a boil order, not discolored. But, my folks in Ashland told me they've had discolored water up there. You're always going to have some discolored water because you're going to have sediment in those pipes that are going to move from point A to point B. But it's important, I think, for us to go ahead and try to address that issue as best we can. And that filtration system would be a pretty important step in trying to at least reduce some of that. The other thing that we're really working on is we're trying to connect those dead ends. We don't want to have those dead end lines where that sediment fills up on the back end and it's not flowing through. Everything needs to be connected properly. And we have a number of dead ends throughout town. So Pat's been doing a good job of trying to identify those areas and getting them connected so the water can flow continuously, as opposed to having that one dead end where you've got all that sediment building up. And then at some point in time, you know, you're going to have that's going to, you know, start backing up and going into people's homes and whatnot. So just a lot of things.
Yeah. Anything else on announcements, recognitions?
Just really quickly, we're going to have a planning commission meeting this next Monday. Mm-hmm. And at that planning commission meeting, we're going to talk about the two new blight studies, number 7 and number 8. Number 7 would be for the property that's located at East C and East 11th Street. The EDC is looking at trying to do some low to moderate income housing in that area. And so we'll take that blight study to the planning commission. And then number 8 would be that property that's just west of the highway, west of the ballpark. There's a lot that's unimproved. It's used for ag right now. But it has the potential to be something more, kind of like the sports complex. And so we'll bring those two blight studies forward. We're going to talk about our comprehensive plan. Miller and Associates are working on that right now, and we're getting pretty much close to being finished with that. So we want to do a presentation prior to bringing it for a final vote. We've got the vacation of the north portion of North Point. That's kind of a continuation of what we were working on last month. And then also the final plat for the second addition to North Point. We did the preliminary plat last month, and now we're going to do the final plat. And then we've got our zoning updates. Actually, that's what Barry and Leanne and I are going to work on this morning after I get back from the radio shows. We've got to go through a couple more districts, and then I can get to the supplemental stuff. So we're getting close. Want to just announce, too, we've got the mixer over at the Keystone. It's going to be a combination of the Chamber of Commerce, the MEDC, and the City of McCook. I know I've got some people that are going to be going over there to help set up for that today. But that starts, I think, at 5:30, I think. 5 or 5:30.
Don't say the wrong time.
Yeah, I'm going to guess.
Somebody's going to call you.
But I think she's at a meeting right now, so she can't hear me. So I'm going to say 5 or 5. I'm going to say 5:30, but I could be wrong on that. Like I said, I want to try to get people out to the sports complex on December 9th. I'm going to call over to Mammoth, and I'll send out a press release if we can make that work. But the big thing I just have to figure out is how we're going to park everybody. Mm-hmm. So, and then also Noel on Norris this weekend. It's going to be on Saturday. Don't forget, get out there and enjoy the – I think it's going to be fairly decent. They said 47 for a high, mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Much better than what we had this past weekend. Sarah's been lucking out on these events because it seems like either the weekend before or the weekend after is really cold. And then there's also going to be a ribbon cutting over at the new inclusive playground at Kelly Park at noon on December 6th, so the same day as Noel on Norris. So that's going to be right behind the Graff Event Center. It's really cool. You know, if anybody gets a chance to go up there for the ribbon cutting, I would encourage them to do so. It's really neat what a group of young moms accomplished here in McCook. That's a $1 million project, and it was spearheaded by probably 10 to 15 ladies that really wanted to do something special for our community. And so we appreciate their efforts. And we would ask that everybody come out there, take a look, because it's something for us to be proud of. It's really cool.
Yeah, I've noticed some pictures on social media, some of the parents taking their kids out and getting some of that playing time on that equipment.
Yeah, I mean, once it warms up, I mean, this weekend wasn't the best weekend to be out there probably, but it's cool because they weren't going to be able to actually do the rubber until after winter is what their plan was, but we had about a week of really nice weather, and they said, we're going to try to get everything laid right now. And so they moved quickly, and they were able to get it done. And the cool thing about this is it's going to give everybody an opportunity to use it. So regardless of ability, you know, you're going to be able to use that park. And I think that's huge. You're seeing more and more of that across the state and the country, trying to make sure that we accommodate everybody. We want everybody to be able to utilize our facilities. And so looking forward to that. And I think that was it for announcements. I don't think I had anything else.
Consent agenda, anything pulled for discussion?
Nothing pulled. Nope. It was a fairly quick meeting. The consent agenda didn't have a lot on there.
The regular agenda update regarding, we talked a little bit about the youth sports complex project going well.
Yeah. So I need to put on my glasses so I can read. it's really hard when you get old and you need to carry readers with you everywhere. I have readers on my hat. I have readers on my neck. I have readers in my pocket.
You got three different pairs, huh?
Well, sometimes I'll have two on my hat, and then and then my kids will be like, did you forget that you had one on your hat already? It's like, no, you never know when you're going to break
you
one.
You never know. Exactly. Yeah.
So no, I just wanted to let everybody know, that there's going to be an advertisement. D.A. Davidson is going to advertise for the bond anticipation note sale. It'll be this week. I don't know exactly what day it's going to be in the newspaper, if it's today or if it's going to be on Thursday. But the actual orders for the notes are going to take place on December 9th, so you can purchase them on December 9th. And then we'll sign the purchase agreement on December 10th. And then we will receive the closing funds on December 18th. The total value of that bond anticipation note issuance is approximately $5.5 million, minus, you know, those fees and everything that gets associated with it. But that's going to be for the utilities, and that's an important piece of the puzzle. We need to get the streets and the utilities. And if you've had a chance to go down Q Street, you can really see where 16th Street, and it's going to have a different name. But for me, it's just easier to kind of match up with where we're at logistically. There's a street that's running north and south, and that's going to have your water. You're going to have your electric. You're going to have sewer's going to be coming off on S Street, but we can stub that down there. And then we're going to be coming off of S Street, which is going to be the highway access. And then we're going to try to get as far as we can around there so that way we can capture all the commercial lots and all the multifamily lots. And the important thing with all this is we want to be able to sell those off so we've got those funds available for debt repayment. So it's not just going to be the recreational bond. And I, just for clarification purposes, people, I think, sometimes get confused. This recreation bond that was passed in 2022, it's the 0.5% local option sales tax that the voters passed 61% to 39%. This is what's being used to finance not just the sports complex, but also the swimming pool. Where obviously, I mean, you've got to collateralize all these. So sales tax at that 1.5% and the property tax have to be put up as collateral. But we have a plan moving forward not to utilize those funds, because I don't want to dip into those funds when they're being used for other purposes around town. But we have a plan to utilize the revenue from the sale of these lots to go ahead and pay down the debt that's associated with these projects. We're fortunate because most towns don't have land to sell. We've got land to sell, you know, and so that makes a huge difference. And that was kind of part of the plan. And the reason why we've done what we've done is because we knew we were going to have some valuable land that people were going to want to develop, which is going to help offset some of these costs. And so the recreation bond is what's funding this. And it's going to be offset by the sale of commercial lots and multifamily lots. And then as we move forward with an improvement district or whatever we do on that north and east side for the residential lots, then we'll sell those lots as well too, which will pay down the debt. We need to replenish the funds that we've utilized to purchase the land and to do some of these other things. And then also the other thing that we want to do is start looking at the second phase of this project. So that way we can try to get as many amenities up there to make McCook as an attractive place as possible for people to live. So I kind of explained the thought process last night. I know people were saying you're raising my taxes on Facebook and whatnot. It's like, well, that was already voted on. And it wasn't the city of McCook. They go after the city of McCook. The voters approved this back in 2022. You know, and so it's a democratic process. Everybody had an opportunity to vote. You know, and it was fairly overwhelming, 61% to 39%. You know, I'm not saying that's a landslide, but it's close to a landslide as you're going to find when it comes to that kind of vote. So obviously the people of McCook wanted to build out their recreational capacity, and that's what we're doing. I've got a mandate. The city's got a mandate. We have to do this. If we don't do this, we're not following the votes of the will of the people. And so, again, I understand it gets confusing. My job is to try to clarify as best as possible. If anybody ever wants to come in and talk, don't go onto Facebook. That doesn't do you any good. Come to me directly, because I'm there. I always tell people I'm about the easiest person to find. I think probably of city managers, I'm probably the easiest to find. I'm always at the office, or I return phone calls or emails as fast as I can. But I think it's a disservice to our community when people get onto Facebook and they make things up or they spread misinformation. It's just it's a toxic environment that we don't want to be a part of. And so, again, you know, I understand people have different ideologies, but you're entitled to your own opinion, but you're not entitled to your own facts. And I think that people need to realize that, hey, there's a lot more that's going on with this than. You know, some of the things that I think are being said out there that's just incorrect. So
don't get me started on Facebook.
Yeah. Well, I'm off of Facebook, but I always have people saying, did you see what they were? It's like, exactly. No, because I'm not on Facebook. Just, but, you know, when we put on pictures of the sports complex and people start commenting on that negatively, it's like, why don't you just go ahead and call us and we could talk about it? Because, you know, we're all adults. We all have the ability to communicate. You may not agree with us. You might think it's a stupid project, but whatever. But for us, we've got a mandate. We've got to move forward with it. We don't have a choice. You know, and so you can point the finger at me or at the city as much as you want, but we have to move forward with the will of the people. That's just the way it is. So it's a democracy, and that's how we have to operate.
Next up, a presentation regarding proposed ACE fund policy.
Yeah, so we have been working on this for a little while. Gene Whedon actually found a policy that was really helpful. We wanted to make sure that the ACE funds, when they were being requested for use by outside entities, that those funds were going to appropriate entities that would be able to utilize it for public purposes. So those ACE funds can be used for community betterment purposes. Sometimes we've used it for city projects, like over at the auditorium or the band shell. We've used ACE funds for PRT purposes, so nuisance abatement purposes. We've used ACE funds for a lot of different projects at the city level, but also we use ACE funds for other projects. You know, the chamber uses it for promotional purposes so we can bring people to McCook. We've had other entities that have utilized it for, I think it was the Norris Institute when they were doing the Norris Alley project. We utilized some funds for that. I know we utilized some funds at one point in time for MEDC housing purposes. So we try to make sure that we utilize those for public purpose, true public purposes. And we've had a lot of requests, and a lot of them have been really good requests, but we need to make sure that we are focusing on the public purpose aspect of this. And so this kind of sets the guidelines. The policy is going to set the guidelines for how we prioritize what we want to use it for. There'll be an application process that people will have to fill out. So that way we know that this is what it's going to be used for specifically, and we can kind of hold them to task and say, no, this is what you had in your application. But it gives us a better way of trying to divvy out those dollars and make sure they're going to the best projects possible. I think this past year we received around $20,000 in ACE funds. It's not a lot, but it gives us the ability to kind of we can't just give tax dollars to public or private agencies. You know, the Constitution of Nebraska doesn't allow us to do that. The only amendment that we've had that allows for that to occur is through LB 840 and our local option sales tax. But aside from that, we don't have the ability to utilize public funds for private purposes. ACE funds are kind of the exception for the rule for us. So we've always treated that as a way to make sure that we could try to do something in our community if we've got the ability to do so. And don't get me wrong, if there are things that we know that we need to do on the city side, we're going to utilize those funds first. And there's a provision in the policy that states that cities' enterprise and general fund needs have to come first, because there are times where we have to supplement some of those needs with ACE dollars. Like, I think we used ACE for tasers at one point in time for the police department. We'll continue to follow this policy. I think it's going to be a really good thing for us. It's going to make all of our lives a little bit easier, because we can make sure that it falls within the parameters of what's been approved. But I wanted to take it to the council so they could look at it. We'll bring it back at the next meeting so they can go ahead and approve it. But nobody had any questions about it last night.
Presentation by staff of a proposed City of McCook donation policy.
Yeah, so this actually dates back to the inception of the sports complex project, and we had a donor that generously had said that they wanted to put some money up, but there are conditions attached to it. And our concern is, if there are conditions attached to it that we can't meet, or it creates issues for us from a maintenance standpoint, we need to be able to address that up front. One of the issues that we had with the situation we were dealing with was there were conditions, but those conditions continued to carry on for a longer period of time than what we were able to manage, especially after the 2022 local option sales tax vote for the additional 0.5%. We knew that we were going to have to move quickly on it, but we could not see eye to eye with the people that were wanting to donate money. And so it kind of slowed down our process. And I think if there are going to be conditional gifts, this policy is going to require that the council approve the conditional gift up front, so that way we all are aware of what's going on. There can't be conversations without the council being involved, because the council has to be a part of all these. If the city is going to be a part of it, either financially or from a maintenance perspective, we have to make sure that we're able to do this. And so that's really kind of what the heart of this is. It gives us, again, the criteria, so that way we know what we're supposed to do when there are donors that are wanting to come forward. And don't get me wrong, we respect the heck out of anybody that wants to donate to the City of McCook, and we encourage that. But we need to have criteria that we can follow, too. And by conditions, I don't just mean, like, if you want to name a facility, that's perfectly fine. We don't have an issue with that. But like the University of Nebraska, when they get gifts, you know, they don't have a donor that dictates how it's going to be used, as far as whether it's going to be going to a specific building. The University of Nebraska is going to say, we're going to build the building in a way that's going to be best for us. And we appreciate the gift, but we've got to make sure that it's something that we're able to go ahead and sustain. And so that's been something that we've wanted to work on. We spent a lot of time looking at policies. Hastings had a policy that we really liked, and so we tweaked it a little bit to fit McCook. But I wanted to take that again to the council last night, so that way they could see it and you know, say if they were comfortable with it, if they weren't comfortable with it. And again, they were all comfortable with it. So we're going to bring this back for a vote here, I think, at this next council meeting.
And we're to council comments. Anything last night?
Nothing last night. Nope.
Wow.
It was a fairly quick movie. It was a fairly quick, it felt like, sometimes it feels like a movie. It was a quick meeting, but it was a productive meeting. Like I said, I think December 15th is going to, usually December 15th is fairly quiet, but we've got a pretty big planning commission meeting, and so I got a funny feeling this next council meeting is going to be a fairly long one. But I don't measure the productivity or the effectiveness of a council meeting based upon the time of a meeting. I base it upon, you know, the goals that are being achieved. And there are so many things that are going on behind the scenes. I mean, if it's a light meeting, that doesn't mean that there's not a lot going on behind the scenes. And it takes some time to build some of these things up so that we can bring it forward. We've got, a big project on the horizon involving St. Catharines that we've been working on behind the scenes with the MEDC that's going to be coming up here at some point in time in the future. We've got things that we're working on over at the airport that takes time. And so I always, when I see people say, yeah, it's a short meeting, I kind of chuckle, because it's like, well, yeah, I mean, there's not a lot on the agenda, but there's a lot of stuff that's going on behind the scenes. And so don't let it fool you if it's only a half an hour meeting or an hour meeting or a 45 or a 3 hour meeting. Even a 3 hour meeting might not be, there may not be quite as much stuff going on. There's just so much stuff that we're working on right now, and it's good. I mean, we got a lot of great things that are happening in McCook. I hope that people can feel that positive momentum rolling. Last night was kind of short, but I don't expect the December 15th meeting to be very short. They were going to be there for a little while that night.
Well, that's the final meeting of 2025.
I know. This year's gone by fast. It's crazy how fast this year went by. And I don't know. It just speeds up. You know, the older you get, the faster it moves. So
2026 is going to be a big year.
It's going to be huge. Yeah, the YMCA. You're going to have the sports complex. Wagner's right next door. We're going to start our wastewater treatment plant project. You know, more housing projects along the way. You know, developers looking at coming to McCook to go ahead and build out that Walters subdivision. There's just so much stuff going on. It's really exciting, and I look forward to the upcoming year and the years to follow.